Justice and Mercy, February 5, 2011, by Ernie Noll. In my dream, the Herald is standing next to me, and we are facing a wall where a calendar hangs. The Herald reaches up and removes the calendar from the wall. He turns to face me, calls me by my heavenly name, and says, "It is time you are allowed to share what you were shown a year before, but were instructed not to make public at the time. You will now be shown the things you were shown before." February 5, 2010 dream. The Herald lays the same calendar on a table. I notice the current date of February 5, 2010. I see that February 27, 2010 is bolded and in a red frame. I wonder why it looks that way. I now notice what resembles a glass test tube that is rounded and closed on both ends. There is a substance inside that looks like mercury. Next, I observe what could be invisible hands break the tube and pour the liquid onto February 27. This red-framed date shakes very hard, yet the calendar does not move. After a short while, the shaking stops. The Herald places the calendar back on the wall. I now see that February 10, 2010 is circled in blue, and 7 days are marked off after that date. Each day falls off the calendar, as if the printed ink was made of sand. 7 more days are marked off and disappear. 3 days are now marked off, ending on the 27th, and those days disappear. The Herald says to turn and look at the wall behind me. As I do, I see an opening that is almost like a doorway, but there is no door. I observe Becky's sister, Martha, standing on the other side of the opening. She does not say anything, but stares blankly as if she is lifeless. I then watch as a 12-inch-wide panel, which matches the wall, suddenly slides at an angle from inside the wall and partially blocks the opening in front of her. When it is in place, I see what looks like parts of letters on the panel. I watch as another panel slides in at a different angle. It has more parts of letters that connect together with the last ones. More angled panels slide into place. After the last panel has moved into place, the letters form the name Martha, and I can no longer see her. The opening is sealed off, and I observe the letters fall off the panels, as if made of sand. I now hear a voice, but do not see the person speaking. The voice describes how Noah preached for 120 years, then went into the ark with his family. For 7 days before the rain fell, they prepared for their stay. These 7 days were filled with blasphemous amusement by those outside the ark. This is the end of the February 5, 2010 dream. The Herald turns to me and explains that it is now time to reveal the dream of February 10, 2010. February 10, 2010 dream. Becky and I are in our living room and have just finished our morning worship. As we get up from praying, we turn and notice 4 angels who had been standing behind us. We hear them sing, "Holy is the Father, holy is the Son, holy is the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, amen." I do not recognize 3 of the angels, but the other angel is the Herald who stands in front. He is dressed in a floor-length silver robe. Over that, he wears a floor-length blue robe that is open at the front. The 3 other angels are dressed in pure white robes. Each holds a sword that looks as if immense heat emanates from it, but I do not feel the heat. The Herald smiles and says, "Do not be afraid. We have been sent with a message." He looks at Becky and says something that I do not understand. She smiles at him as if to acknowledge she understands, and turns to me and smiles. The Herald looks back at me, calls me by my heavenly name, and says they have a message to give. The 1st angel walks to the Herald and hands him a clear glass tablet with gold engraved letters. The 2nd angel walks to the Herald and places his tablet on top of the 1st tablet. The 3rd angel walks over and places his on top of the 2nd tablet. All 3 tablets become 1 tablet. The Herald explains that when the courts of heaven watched and waited for my repentance, Martha was already at work with the one of great evil to destroy the walls of God's ministry. She stated many things that were not true. Those whom she shared with believed what she said without verifying the facts. Many were not aware of the tithe money that she stole from God's ministry. Martha did not repent of these things. Many are not aware of how God deals with those who lie and steal. He is patient, and he loves everyone. There is no limit to his love, but there is a limit to his patience. The Herald now shares the following messages for Martha. Your prayers for leading, forgiveness, comfort, and healing have been heard. Jesus Christ brought these requests to his Father and your Father who sits on the throne. He asks why he should answer these. Becky was instructed to share a quote with you from the book The Desire of Ages, which shows what you did was not correct. She was also to tell you that you were to acknowledge your wrongs. Becky followed these instructions. You are to acknowledge that you sinned greatly against God and his ministry. You are to repent of your lies and return what you stole from his storehouse. However, you did not do this. You were asked to kindly share financially with a Christian brother in need. You did this, but it was not with a heart of love. Then you asked this brother to pay you back with interest. The Father could and would have blessed you many times over, but you did not show love even though you asked for God's love. You do not see your own sins, but are quick to point out the sins of others. You have negatively affected others who had a close walk with God. You have stolen precious souls from him. Revelation 3:19 says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." If you expect answers to your prayers, you must ask for forgiveness and make restitution. You need to openly make a verbal statement that you have sinned against God. If you do this, it will be a sign that you are truly sorry and desire to reform. You are to do the following. Number 1. Go to your parents and state, "I have a statement to make. What I did to Becky and Ernie was not right, and now I ask for your forgiveness. What I did has not brought glory to my Heavenly Father." If they question or do not understand, you are to repeat, "What I did to Becky and Ernie was not right, and now I ask for your forgiveness. What I did has not brought glory to my Heavenly Father." Again, if they have questions and ask you to explain, you are to repeat the same statement. This is to be your only response. Number 2. You are to go before your entire church family and openly state, "I have a statement to make. What I did to Becky and Ernie was not right, and now I ask for your forgiveness. What I did has not brought glory to my Heavenly Father." If they question or do not understand, you are to repeat the same statement. This is to be your only response. Number 3. You are to contact all the former board members of God's former ministry. You are to state to each of them, "I have a statement to make. What I did to Becky and Ernie was not right. I now ask for your forgiveness. What I did has not brought glory to my Heavenly Father." If they question or do not understand, you are to repeat the same statement. This is to be your only response. Number 4. You are to contact your Christian brother and ask for his forgiveness. You are to tell him that it was wrong of you to treat him the way you did. You are to admit that you did not show the love that Christ would have shown. You are to tell him that he does not need to pay you back and ask that he would forgive you as Jesus is willing to forgive all your sins if you repent. Number 5. You are to return to Ernie the tithe you stole from God's storehouse. It was given to the one whom God has called to minister. You are further instructed to give a restitution offering for stealing from God. You are not to do this with angry thoughts, as you did with your Christian brother, but rather with love. Notice what Luke 19:8-10 states. "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Number 6. You are to return to God and ask that your transgressions be removed from the records. You are to acknowledge what you have done. Since you failed to follow what God instructed and cannot use ignorance as an excuse because you have studied and know what the truth is, he will hold you responsible. If you do not repent, he will pour upon you the transgressions of the souls who had begun to repent and turn to God but now have turned away from him. You will need to make restitution for what you have done. Number 7. You are to show love to all. You are to give what you expect from others. You are to place others first in everything you do. You are to understand that if you want to be like Christ, then you will want to serve all like Christ did. The highest place to serve is in the lowest place. When Jesus was placed on the cross, he stretched out both arms and legs to be nailed to the cross. Soon God will break open and pour out another vial of his wrath on the face of the earth. This will happen soon and will be noticeably marked. If you have not done what God has asked, by the time this vial is broken, woe unto you. He will instruct his marking angel to leave and continue on elsewhere. He will instruct his spirit of comfort to depart and never return. He will turn his face, and you will stand in the shadow of his countenance. He will command your dry, brittle bones to be crushed into the earth. He will instruct your pain to increase. Your life as a fluid will flow from you, and your days will be shortened. Then each day you will lie in pain until your last drop of life is drained from you. The herald has now finished with Martha's instructions. He returns a glass tablet to each of the three angels. Then they each fly upwards like a bolt of lightning. February 5, 2011 Dream. In this dream, I am reminded how in February 2010, Becky and I were given these instructions, which we followed. I was to prepare the February 10, 2010 dream. Becky was to say a prayer and then share the dream with her sister Martha. Their mother was given a copy of the dream, and she and I stood by as witnesses. After presenting it, Becky gave Martha a tearful hug and pleaded for her not to disappoint Jesus. Then, as Becky and I walked away, Martha told her mother that the dream was from Satan. She rejected the messages, even though they were shared with patience and love. Soon afterwards, Martha went to a member of her church whom she knew supported God's ministry. While I am not to mention this person's name, he can be described as of Norwegian descent. This individual fell from a distance and could have died, but the merciful hand of God preserved his life because he had a work for him to do. Martha went before this brother, telling him lies and stories to greatly upset him. He decided to no longer support God's ministry. He failed to do what he had mentioned so many times before about going to the source for verification. Years before, this same brother was brought before the church board for disfellowshipping. At this time, I was a new member of this church and served as an elder and board member. Even though I did not know this brother yet, I stood up for him and stated that I recommended prayer and patience and that two elders and the pastor should call on him. A visit was made, and it was decided that he would not be disfellowshipped. This individual never knew of the stand that was made for him. He listened to Martha, who continued her ways of trying to destroy the ministry that God called me to do. The herald tells me that it is time for this dream to be shared so that everyone can see the love and power of God and his patience in waiting for each to repent. This information is also important for those who say that God does not kill or destroy and is all forgiving. Let it be known that God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. The herald then shares this parable. There was a husband whose wife was an immaculate housekeeper. Everything in the house was white. One day the husband was in the garage working underneath his car. When he finished, he was covered with grease and oil. He went to a door of the house and told his wife that he needed to come in to get clean. The wife told her husband that even though she loved him, he must first return to the garage to clean himself of all the filth before he could enter the house. This is how it is with our Heavenly Father. He says to prepare ourselves as a clean vessel. Heaven is a place without sin. Those who are in sin cannot enter through its gates. The Father stands at the door. He loves everyone, but he will not allow anyone entrance who is filthy with sin. In the February 5, 2010 dream, I was shown the calendar with February 10 circled in blue. This is the day I was given the message for Martha. I was shown a 7-day period twice, and then an additional 3 days given by God in his mercy and patience as he waited for Martha to repent, which ended on February 27. I was shown a vial of wrath that would be broken and poured out on that day, with the results being visibly marked. On that day, the vial was poured out upon Chile. I was instructed not to share this dream at the time it was given, since it involved dates. All God's people are to know that after October 22, 1844, there is no defined biblical time prophecy. On February 27, 2010, the Father broke open a vial of his wrath upon Chile. The destruction that resulted was without question noticeably marked. This earthquake caused a change in the earth's time clock. This earthquake caused the ground mass of Chile to move a great distance. It was because of this earthquake that weather patterns were affected. Last summer, the whole world watched in amazement at the destructive power of the weather. Last summer, the whole world witnessed floods, fires, hurricanes, and tornadoes. The whole world witnessed the tremendous changes in the weather. There were extremely high temperatures in certain areas, while extremely low temperatures existed elsewhere. Wintertime has seen unusually severe snowstorms, ice, and frigid temperatures in many parts of the world. All these weather changes will continue on. This spring, as a testament to God's words, many people will experience devastating tornado activity never seen before. The observance of melting snow and rain will cause destructive floods. Know that this summer many will be scorched from the heat of the sun. Great will be the loosing of the winds of the weather. Horrible will be the tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and fires. This extreme weather will continue, and many will die because of it. God is asking His people to hear His voice and heed the warnings of His messengers. He has shown that when we break even one commandment, we break them all. Martha broke all 10, yet never humbly approached God's throne of mercy to repent. From February 2010, He allowed 10 months to pass, 1 month for each of His commandments, before removing His protection from her. On the morning of December 18, 2010, God allowed Martha to slip and fall. Her bones were crushed into the earth, just as God promised if she did not repent. Even though she fell only a short distance, her bone below the knee was shattered. She was taken to the hospital, but had to wait until the swelling went down before surgery could be done. She lay in pain, but God no longer heard her pleas for relief. He was fulfilling what He said He would do if Martha did not repent. Again, He loves the sinner, but He hates sin. God will not walk with those who refuse to let go of sin. After extensive surgery was performed, the doctor explained that the surgery may not do much good because her bones are dry and brittle. That is why she sustained so much injury from just a short fall, which normally would cause only a simple sprain. He stated that she would be bedridden and may never walk again. The Herald states that now Martha's elderly parents, who are in their retirement years, are forced to care for their invalid daughter in their home. He reveals how they should have counseled their daughter to repent, since she was clearly on the wrong path. The Herald says, "Come, I am to show you something. I am taken into the near future, where Martha's life was shortened, as God said He would do if she did not repent. Because Martha was no longer employed, she did not want to use her savings to pay for her medical bills. Therefore, since her parents decided to cover her medical expenses, they did not wish to spend money for her funeral. Instead, a memorial service was held in their home, and refreshments were provided for those who would come. They watched through the windows, but no one came, not even one church member. After a while, Martha's mother said she had things to attend to in the garden. Her father sat down in front of the television and watched a ball game." The Herald reveals that this is how those who do not repent will be remembered. The church members do not even show true love for each other. Over a year ago, Becky and Martha's father required surgery. Not one church member visited him during his hospital stay, even though he serves as the head elder. The Herald now shows me something that everyone needs to understand. I am taken back to the dream, the end, where I see personal family members during the second resurrection. They were given the truth, but because pride entered in, they lied or condemned the messages I have been given by God. It must be asked, when does Satan lead people to truly repent and give their hearts and lives to Jesus? Now, instead of receiving a crown of life, these family members receive a condemnation sentence of eternal death. My heart aches because they are held accountable for leading others astray. They thought they lived as true Christians, but instead they are hearing Christ say, "I know you not." They stand motionless as they wait to receive their punishment. The Herald explains that all who acknowledge their sins by confessing and repenting through the blood of Jesus will stand on the walls of the New Jerusalem. As they look down at the unsaved and perhaps see previous friends or family members, their hearts will be breaking. However, they will understand that it is through God's mercy that He shows justice. The entire universe will know that God shows justice and mercy in ending the awfulness of sin. God will destroy. Sin and sinners will be no more. The Herald tells me to take special notice of what I am observing. I see that Jesus, as the King of the universe, has just received His crown and stands victorious above the holy city. The Herald explains how it should be understood that we will learn much about what Jesus gave up when He came to this earth. He lived and served with only the power given to him by his Father. All he does now as our mediator is through the Father. This is why he sent us the Holy Spirit when he returned to heaven. It is why he does not know the day or the hour of his return. Before he came to this earth, he was omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent, having the ability to be everywhere at the same time. I now see Jesus raise his hand into the air and see what I can only describe as beams of light flowing from the scar. I think how it is the same hand he willingly raised so that it could be nailed to the cross for our sins. Everyone in the universe is watching him. He looks to the Father, and suddenly fire comes down from the heavens. The fire does not have flames, but it is of most intense white heat that is difficult to describe. The herald calls my attention to look upon Martha. I know in my heart I want to cry out, but yet I know the justice that must happen because God cannot allow sin to enter heaven. It is also because of God's great love and mercy. He knows that Martha would not be happy in heaven, where there is no deceit, theft, pride, or fornication. I watch as Martha is consumed for what seems like many days or weeks because of her sins and those whom she led away from the Father. In my heart, I am pleading that God would shorten her suffering. Some next to her are quickly consumed and leave no trace of their existence. The scene before me is horrible to behold. The herald tells me to hold to my faith and trust in him who stands as the King of the universe. God calls upon all to come to him and repent now. Martha was given an opportunity just as everyone else is. The herald explains that those who condemn God's messengers will take their places next to Martha. The herald says, I know this message will be difficult for you to share. You are a messenger called by God, and you have been instructed to share what you have been shown. You are not to concern yourself with what others may say. All who make comments against the messages will have to give an account to God. Continue to be faithful. Give counsel and comfort when and where needed, as you are instructed to. Prepare his people for the time that lies before them. Know that they will be few. As Martha has done, many walk the path of unrepentance.